Good morning, and welcome to the 888 Q1 KPI and Interim Management Statement conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. I will now hand over to Mr. Gigi Levy, CEO of 888. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the call this morning. I'm joined, as usual, by Aviad Kobrine, our Chief Financial Officer. Assuming that you've all seen the statement, I will give you a brief overview before opening the call for questions. While Q1 saw improvement on a year-on-year basis, B2C trading remains challenging across the product range, partly influenced by the seasonal pattern and potentially also the outcome of financial downturn in a few European markets. Customer acquisition in Q1 has been strong, highlighting the success of our various campaigns, but it is not yet yielding corresponding revenues, and emerging offering continues to outperform the core products. Dragonfish continues to win new deals, notably those in the newly regulated Italian market with bwin Italia and Gioco Digitale, to be launched later this year. It has also had successful win relationship extensions, such as the announced with Cascade, extending the life of the contract up to two further years. Also in Bingo, we've signed a new agreement with Prime Gaming to provide them with a comprehensive solution. Overall, Dragonfish is now a very established B2B provider in the market, and additional new deals are in the pipeline. As many of these are startup operations, revenues from the new deals are yet to gain significant volume, but Dragonfish is on the right path to growth. Given the performance in the year to date, and as you will all have seen in the statement, we've conducted a cost-cutting exercise, which actually started a while ago and not as an emergency action we decided on yesterday, as some people in the media read it. The cost-cutting part is part of a significant organizational restructuring and is aimed to help us reach our targets this year despite the challenging trading, both in terms of a better structure as well as the lower costs. To answer at least one of your questions ahead, I will say that the process is aimed to save roughly $7 million-$8 million this year, or an annualized run rate of $14 million-$16 million, and we'll see around a 20% reduction in HR costs, which obviously does not necessarily translate to the percent of employees, which is a lower percent. These cuts are somewhat similar to what many of our competitors undertook last year, and while we hoped last year that 2010 will bring with it much improved trading, we're currently taking similar measures. While we believe that these steps are necessary for the short-term profitability of the business, we remain positive about the strategy and the future prospects of the group. With continued momentum on emerging offering, a new and improved poker product around the corner, additional B2B deals in the pipeline, a few signed B2B deals about to be launched, a few M&A deals close to conclusion, and a great team, we're certain of future growth. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I will now hand you back over to the operator, who will run the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, sir. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that any mute function on your telephone is switched off in order to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received, and we'll take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has already been answered today, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one to ask a question, star two to remove yourself from the queue. We will now pause for a brief moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. Our first question today comes from Simon French of Panmure Gordon. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
It's actually Andrew Burnett at Panmure Gordon. Good morning, Gigi.
Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Aviad. In Simon's absence, possibly I could ask on his behalf, on the trading update you gave, is there any particular geographies or any particular product verticals that have been more marked in that 13%, or is it pretty much across the board?
Sure. It's a good question. The reality is that there's no specific geography which suffers more than others. It is roughly spread across them. And that in terms of product, they've all been weak, but poker has been weaker than the rest, I think in line with what the industry sees as trends in general. However, there's not a huge difference between the two, between the sort of different products. The one product that has been good is Bingo. Bingo overall, including Wing, was actually pretty stable, and I think that Bingo in the UK at the time being is holding up pretty nicely. So that's about And I'll take advantage of the question to also say that this is the nature of the beast. We report now, and this is the first 25 days of the quarter, and these 25 days don't look too well. But it does not mean that longer term this is going to be the outcome of the quarter. Just like we reported in the past at the beginning of the quarter, good current trading, and then later on it turned around. So remember, this is it's a consumer business. It changes based on weather, based on currencies, based on sentiment, and the fact that it's down now does not mean that this is going to be the trend from here onwards. This is just, we report it as it is, but it does not necessarily mean that this is going to continue deteriorating across the industry. But as for your questions, relatively equal across geographies, relatively equal across products, with poker slightly weaker and bingo slightly stronger. Does that answer it?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We currently have nobody in the queue for questions. As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question today comes from Ivor Jones of Numis. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Your shares seem pretty cheap this morning. Do you think it's time that you started using some of your cash to buy some?
It's a good question. If we did put in place a mechanism to do that, and if the share will continue being weak, I mean, we need to see how the day closes, of course, but if the share continues being weak, then we may just as well do that. We are, I think, at this point, at least in our perspective, extremely cheap. The share price, not us, of course.
You haven't bought back shares before, have you?
No, we've not.
The authority, we haven't done it.
No, we've not. But if you recall, in the 2009 lowest dip, we sort of felt that we were not in a good position by not having the process or the authority to do that. So last year we got the authority. We didn't have a point up till now to actually use it. And now, if the share price will continue being weak, we'll definitely look into this seriously.
Okay, thank you. Could you talk about the contingent consideration for Wink Bingo? So I don't know how much you want to say, but you say it's trading pretty well. Is it heading towards earning the full earn-out, half the earn-out? Can you give us some guidance so we can think about the net cash?
It's really difficult. We are only at April, and the earn-out depends on the year, so it's very difficult for us to say. At the time being, it is, how shall I put it? It's guided sort of half the earnouts, more or less.
And I can't remember what the maximum was.
Do you want to help me with the exact number? I don't want to give a wrong number.
Yeah, sure. The maximum consideration was $59 million. And whilst the earnout only began 24 days ago, they're performing well. So they could make as big as maybe as half as that.
Okay.
It's still going to be a stretch to make the full earnout.
Okay.
A positive stretch if they do, but still a stretch.
But you have to pay the earn-out in cash. You don't pay it in shares. Is that right?
That is true.
Okay. And you've talked about the recent trading. The cost-cutting is not a response to that, but you're cutting costs. What about changes in the way that you are marketing? Have you been doing something wrong in the last 20-some days? Some wrong product initiative, some wrong marketing initiative that you can reverse, that can make us feel that there's a step change from today or from tomorrow?
It's an interesting question. First of all, the answer, the generic answer is that whatever we would have done in the last 20 days would not have changed anything, because the vast majority of players are existing players. In other words, the amount of new players that come in through the door every day do not really influence the trading. The trading is mostly influenced by the older customers.
Yeah.
So, percentage-wise, we're talking about, every day it's, 2-3% of the customers are new customers. So it's not that we brought the wrong kind of customers or something. That wouldn't change that. I think that on the casino, bingo, sports betting front, overall, we're pretty happy with what we've done and with everything. I think that on the casino front, there's something happening in the industry. Sorry, on the poker front, there's something happening in the industry. And the type of things that used to work in the past do not work anymore. We see this, but talking to other to other executives in other online gaming companies, they see similar things. And we are definitely thinking very, you know, that one of the topics that interests us, that we deal with the most, is what's going to be different in the way we treat poker in the future. One of the things is that we're coming out with a totally new product, similar to the new versions that I think that Party Gaming and Full Tilt gave last year. And we're coming with a version which is a huge improvement on our current software, which is expected to help. But this is not enough, and we are looking to take some significant steps that will allow us to look at a different segment of poker players or treat poker players differently. I don't really 100% have the answer yet, and if I did, clearly I wouldn't give it to you, but we are going to change the way we market poker.
Thank you. And just thinking about the U.S., firstly, what's happening in, what is Harrah's Interactive doing that is public, obviously, in terms of any commercial activity that started? And then more generally, relative to when we last spoke, do you feel more optimistic that there will be positive regulatory change for you in relation to the U.S.?
Okay, so what Harrah's doing in relation to the United States is their business. I am aware, though, that Harrah's that have not yet had any sort of online gaming activity, even for free, in the United States, is considering their position, like every other operator in the United States. This I can tell you. In terms of the regulatory framework, this is what I'm going to say now is going to be hearsay, but I think we do speak with people that know more, you know, more than others, and I think there is a growing belief that by the end of the year there's going to be a change in online gaming regulation in the United States, specifically in around poker. And I think that one of the reasons that this, you know, we put out this announcement about Nevada, one of the reasons that Nevada is taking a sudden interest in online gaming companies, because of their review is a wider review than just 888 and Harrah's, you know, one of the reasons is because they also feel that there's going to be very quickly posed with the question of what do you do when an Nevada licensed company comes with an online gaming partner and starts marketing across the United States. I think this is what's behind all of that, and this is now hearsay, but what I hear is that there are moves, and that this government is a lot more positive on regulating at least online poker. Now, sorry, I can't be more specific. I simply don't know more.
No, that's very interesting. Thank you. And just to be clear, I would never call you cheap, Giggy.
Ah, thank you, Ivan.
Thanks very much.
Our next question today comes from Alex Davey of Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi there, guys. A couple of questions, please. The first one, with the wage cuts and the cost cutting, do you expect those to have any impact on growth or morale amongst your staff? And secondly, the weakness at the beginning of the quarter. You mentioned poker, you thought that's sort of across the industry, but for the other products, do you think that's a movement in your share or those, again, movements in the whole industry?
Okay. Let's start with the cost cuts. We did not cut anything that we feel will damage our growth. Very specifically, we did not cut any marketing. We did not cut any of the people that actually bring in revenues. We did cut in some areas. So the company is now going to be, you know, it's still a big company, but it's going to be leaner and hopefully quicker in moving in some areas. As I said before, it is part of a bigger organizational change. So some of it is not even cost cutting, it's just rationalization. But to be frank, it's never an easy process. It's not an easy process for me. It's not an easy process for the company. We're very, you know, the company has got a great relationship with the employees. It's considered to be a company that people love working for, and every time we have to let people go, and you know, the last big round was when we closed the U.S. market. But that's a painful process, and it's not good. So you know, we believe this is the right thing. We believe that the new company will have the right structure and the right mix of people. We feel that the people that are that stayed in the company, being the majority of the people, are very motivated. And while being very sad for the people leaving, I don't think there's any motivation problem. As part of that, by the way, we did tell the people that while we did have to let people go, then the normal processes such as salary reviews and bonuses, etc., are going to continue. So in a way, what we're saying is that it's very sad if you left, but if you stayed, it's still a great place to work for. So I don't think that creates any problem. As far as the pay cut that I think was referred in one of the one of the media items, yes, we did take a 10% pay cut on the senior management. The senior management being myself and my direct reports, which are roughly 9 people. The reason why we did this is not because, sadly, our salaries are going to change anything in the big picture, but because when releasing people, we wanted to show our commitment and share also the pain, in a way. The fact that we are letting people go had to come in terms of the ethos of the management vis-a-vis the employees. It's easier when it comes with some pain on the management side as well. So that's behind that. And I can assure you that none of my senior managers will lose their motivation because they lost 10% of their pay. If anything else, I think they're all very motivated and convinced that we're going to we're going to prove ourselves by the end of the year. So I don't think that has any negative impact. Then in terms of poker, I think, yes, poker is an industry perspective, and it is not going to get easier probably. And in terms of market share, I think that on the bingo side, if anything, we grew our market share. On the casino side, I don't have, the casino is really distributed between many companies, and if you gather all the publicly traded companies, it's also very difficult to understand what's happening in casino, because the majority of the pure casino operators, the ones that are not sport betting companies, are not publicly traded. And I think the sports betting companies were hit less because of cross-sell and because they still have the customers coming in. I would like to think that, and from what we figured out, that we did not lose market share on pure casino, meaning on people that look for a casino to play. But it's very difficult for me to give a precise answer. If anything, I'm quite sure that there's no significant drop in our market share. So this is more of a trend rather than just us being bad. I hope that answers the question.
That's very helpful. Thanks very much.
Our next question today comes from Jane Anscombe of Edison Investment. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Gigi.
Morning, Jane.
Two questions, if I might. First of all, you are obviously in the process of rolling out the new branding. When we're looking at the success of the marketing, I mean, are you pleased in the way in which that is going? Do you feel that it needs tweaking in any areas?
Okay, the answer to this is that so far, everything we've tested shows that this responds better than the previous brand. Having said that, this was only rolled out at the time being, well, now it's rolled out across, but until roughly a week ago, it was rolled out just for one market and on a test basis. So it's not yet massive. We just rolled it out first to see how people respond. Now it's rolled out to almost all markets. So we need to see the impact of this in the coming few months. Still, from what we tested, that we had positive results. Otherwise, we wouldn't have launched it. That's the way we work.
Right. And secondly, can you say what you are doing about what you're planning for France? Firstly, in terms of what the effect will be of having to cut off casino and bingo, and whether you're intending to apply for license.
Well, it's a good question. It's one that we are heavily looking at. There is a licensing process which is about to start. From what we hear at the current point, the only nominees for a quick license are the local companies, not very surprisingly. As you are aware, we work in France today directly through our Gibraltarian license. And effectively nothing changed in terms of the EU position. So we need to weigh the upside of getting a local license versus continuing to work based on Article 49 and Europe in general. I think that longer term you will see us taking a license. But in the short term we need to see that there is really a serious process of granting licenses to companies like us, and that there is an understanding that with time all products will need to be regulated, and we are in discussion with the regulator about this. France represents roughly $3 million in half two for us. So, you know, if push comes to shove and we need to close it, that's what it is. And we will close it if we think that there's an upside for us in getting the license and working there. I think that, you know, also talking to other operators, we're all relatively, you know, uncertain yet as to what's going to be the licensing, the factual licensing regime versus the generic statement. If you understand, we're not sure that all of us are going to get a license immediately.
Right. And if you apply for a license, that's the point at which you would need to turn off the existing business, or even not even necessarily because of the EU position.
The reality is that right now, the way the wording of the French license stands, there is no definition of when you have to close it. I assume they don't intend for you to keep it open, of course. But unlike the initial drafts, and I'm being very careful here because there's very specific wording, the initial drafts had specific wording that said, if you want to apply for a license, you need to prove at the time of application that you don't have any offshore activity into France. This is out of the equation now, and we have some, you know, on a side note, we think we know who took it out, and it's one of the French companies that works into France today.
Mm-hmm.
And many people on the call can guess who that is. But the reality is that right now there's no such restriction, so, you know, we're working on seeing what it takes to get a license, but in parallel reviewing our overall situation in that regard.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jane.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, if you wish to ask a question in today's Q&A session, that'll be star 1 on the telephone keypad. Our next question today comes from Graham Taylor of Legal & General. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions. First, with regard to the statement from the 16th of April that you mentioned in your answer to Ivor, does this review affect the announced venture in the UK, or is it focused on potential new ventures outside Nevada but within the US? And if the former, what would a negative determination look like, and what would it mean?
Okay. This is going a bit into Harris businesses, so I need to be careful with how I respond to this. Our understanding is that the drive for a review is wider than just the UK. And I'll stop talking about Harris's side of the business because it's their business. In terms of what happens if, you know, all goes worst and Nevada says that Harris can't work with any online gaming company or with us, currently this is practically zero revenues, so there's no downside. If you recall when we spoke about the Harris deal, the upside of the Harris deal is not in the UK. The Harris brands in the UK are nice, but they're not unique, and the amount of money that Harris plans to spend in the UK is not significant. Clearly, the upside of the Harris engagement is if we're going to end up working in the United States. All the rest of it is nice, but it's not significant in any way. So I would be very disappointed if we end up not being able to work with Harris in the United States. But in terms of the downside, there's no real downside. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you. Do we have a sense of timing?
Of such a process?
Yes. Is this going to last weeks or months or years?
Well, I on a funny yet interesting note, I was told that I need to brief the Nevada regulators about the color of my underwear in every day throughout the review. So this is probably going to be an extensive review, and it's probably not going to take weeks.
Okay.
We're talking about visits to our various sites that are already scheduled. We're talking about various discussions and various topics. That we're actually very happy to entertain because we think that we have, just like other regulators seem to like us, we think that the Nevada regulator shouldn't have any problem with us.
Very good. Unrelated question. Are you yet seeing any shift of European liquidity away from the U.S.-facing operators? And if not, what do you think it will take in order to make that happen, short of actually shutting down their operations?
Well, I think that the answer is very clearly no. There's no shift. If anything, the bigger guys, being mostly PokerStars and Full Tilt, are getting bigger. You know, all these rumors about Full Tilt, that clearly I don't know what's the reality and what's true and what's not, but all these rumors have not translated yet to any change at all in the way poker customers look at Full Tilt or poker stars. And at the time being, if anything, they just continue spending huge amounts of money and gaining market share in Europe. So no change.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from James Hollins of Daniel Stewart. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, good morning. I just want to add a very quick follow-up on a question earlier. Did I hear correctly in that you expect France revenue to be just $3 million in H2 this year?
Aviad, do you want to give the exact figures?
Yeah, it's actually casino because the current legislation doesn't call for casino. We don't have any revenue in bingo in France, and poker will be allowed, and we will participate in it probably.
So, in other words, if we are going to have to stop the non-licensed activities, this will be an impact of $3 million. That's the precise number.
Correct.
Okay, so the implication is that, you know, just to give a wider or headline figure, your current revenue in France, assuming poker is pretty small, is about 2% of your group revenue.
Yeah, it is not significant in any way.
Okay, interesting. Thanks very much.
As we have no further questions at this point, I would like to hand the call back over to Gigi Levy for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So, guys, thank you for joining the call. As I started, we had a fairly okay Q1. We have tough trading now that we don't think should reflect on the future. There are lots of good prospects and good things happening, both on the B2C side and on the B2B side. A few acquisitions that we're working on, and overall we're still very certain that we're going to deliver great results in the future. So thank you very much, and, well, waiting for the next call in 3 months. Bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.